You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Dwayne?
David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
How are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Dwayne. I'm watching the market just slowly creep up here.
That's what it's doing. This thousand. Now you talked about 1,002 yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday's final for yesterday. That was yesterday's final upside target, and they did reach it. I think within a tick, and the market did have a very minor reaction. Again, look at these downside reactions, which are very, very compressed. Compressed meaning unable to swing to really normal levels on the downside, and our support and resistance panel. In spite of that, we did call for today an initial downside target of 993. They did touch that level. They've reacted off that, and we are testing the 1,002 level. And I did mention yesterday that if they broke out above, I forgot what the number was right now, but that they would hit the 1,002. These levels are all, again, mathematical or technical analysis of numbers levels, rather than chart support points, and they are still very useful and valid. But no matter what levels you use right now, the fact is that the market is extremely compressed in a very powerful ongoing uptrend, and so any levels right now are you're going to have potentially very minor downside reactions off of them, or at least a better way of saying it maybe would be very or not normal types of reactions, you know, compressed, slow-moving, not able to really reach more natural targets in a normal swing trading environment. This market is a trend follower's dream right now because the S&P normally is not capable of moving with this amount of time without a larger reaction. It can do this, and it sometimes does. This is highly unusual, though. It looks almost more like a currency trading in one direction, if you've ever seen a currency chart, or sometimes maybe even a grain or something, where it just runs and runs and runs. So that's just what makes you have to be careful trading for your normal targets on the downside, I guess is what I'm saying, because, you know, the market's really compressed. It's a very, very tightly wound market, and it is attempting higher prices even as we speak. And, you know, one of the things that is a characteristic of this market, has been for quite some time, is the very slow grinding kind of nature of it, very slow movement. This makes trading it a little bit more difficult for people because it does require that you hold on to a position for a longer period of time, and that can be sometimes several hours to reach a particular target. For this morning, the fact that the market is able now to press on through 1,002 is a good indication that it's not A, normal behavior, and B, it's an indication that there's a lot of pent-up buying pressure still in this market. So we have the potential for higher prices today, and we'll still continue to trade off of them. We did have a trade earlier today that was, one was a break-even, one was a small loss on the upside, because we're expecting, or trying, our system tries to trade for normal market behavior. And so we're looking for, if we do reach some higher prices here, we'll trade off of those again. And there should be some tradable reaction here on the downside. But, you know, we'll just have to trade it as the market, as it occurs. Because, again, it's very slow. If you have the patience and can sit through the long period, there's quite a bit of potential gain in the market. It's just a longer hold. And some people have trouble with that.
Well,
you know?
The average range of a 5-minute candle right now is just over 1 point.
Yeah, and that's very unusual. That's very unusual movement. But we are still in an uptrend, very strong and very powerful. Even though it may be 1 point, they're still attempting higher here. So this is a spot that we just have to, you know, you either have to be long and be a trend follower here, which is fine if you are. And good luck to you, you know, because this is a market that is able to, you know, pay off very handsomely if you can hold on to something like that. But it is unusual for the S&P, so keep that in mind. So really right now, you know, we're just on the sidelines waiting for the next potential level of importance to get reached, if they're able to do that. In the meantime, we are, if I can switch gears for a moment, and we can come back to the S&P, of course, if you want to.
Okay.
Unless you had anything else you wanted to say right now, you can certainly throw it in.
No. Go right ahead.
I heard you say something before, and I think it's a very interesting concept. This is, what did you call it? The recovery bubble.
you were listening.
Yeah, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. That is a wonderful distillation of what we may be later calling this. And I want everyone to know that you're the only person probably that has used that phrase. I honestly believe that. I think that that is...
Well, now, I hope I am.
I think you are. I don't think anybody's come up with that. I had never thought of this as that, even though it's a very powerful advance. It's beautiful. It's a perfect idea.
Folks, if you've heard someone else say that, please send me an email. I don't want to take credit for an original thought that wasn't original. So,
well, it was original. It was original to you if you didn't hear it, you know, from someone else.
I don't remember hearing it from anyone else.
I don't think I've heard it
in my head.
It's beautiful. It's a great concept. So anyway, that's a great idea. It very well may be the case. The market is obviously anticipating a better time ahead. And you know, it's been an amazing run. You know, you have to hand it to them. This has just been very powerful. The market's done a number of things that have been unusual on the upside. One of which was it broke through some important daily tops that would normally have occurred and walked right through them. Another thing that it's done is it's doing what it did today, which is to continue on higher after where normally we would have a much more important reaction than 93 on the downside, off of a 1,002 at this point, and here we are pushing to higher prices. So,
let me just add this, because I know that volume is one of your equations. I haven't figured out how you really factored in, but yesterday's break of 1,000 would be considered light volume.
Yes,
and
no
today's
doubt.
Action, where we're kind of trying to, you know, stay above this 1,000, mm-hmm. is on light volume.
Light volume, yeah. And that's part of the thing, is that we're in the middle of the summer, and summertime, very routinely, as a seasonal component, summertime is very calm. It's a very quiet market. The movement we're seeing, the type of behavior that we're seeing, Duane, in the market right now with this very, very quiet intraday motion is very common in the summer, but it's also under a very powerful influence at the same time. This is a very calming, the summer has a calming effect, like a nighttime tea that you drink, you know, that just calms you right down. That's what the summertime does. And we're really, I think if we're not right in the middle of it, we're right in very close to the dead center of summer. And so we're in the, as we've said before, we've joked, the dog days of summer. And this is a period where the markets are quiet, they're compressed, but yet under this set of conditions, with world conditions and everything else, the market wants to go higher here, and it's doing so effectively on the daily chart, day by day, but very quietly on an intraday basis. So this is something that is unusual. And, you know, the market goes into these periods where it's unusual behavior, and it depends on what your definition of usual is, but usual probably means what it does maybe 85 or 90% of the time. And under short periods of time, usually for a short period, the market can do something extraordinary. And this market has done that off of the bottom that we made. And we have potentially much higher prices coming here. We're going to do work on the weekend, depending on how this week closes, that may be able to give us, as the provider of information, some new insight into more important targets on the upside, rather than just the daily targets that we have, you know, the usual daily targets, mm-hmm. That would be on the upside here.
Okay.
So, but I do love the phrase recovery bubble, and I think it's, the beautiful thing about it is I think it's very early to say that. And in other words, you're way ahead of the curve. And I think it'd be interesting to see several months from now if that's not exactly what people are calling this, is the recovery bubble. And I want to type a letter to whoever you can, you know, type into on TV programs or whatever, and point to the person who first called it. So mark this date down, because I just love the concept. That is beautiful. I don't think anybody's come up with that idea.
I don't know. There's a lot of people out there a whole lot smarter than I am. I'm sure somebody has.
Well, they might be a lot smarter, but they might be distracted with other things.
Maybe they are.
Anyway, one last thing I'm going to mention for today. If we can switch over to the soybean market, when the S&P is slow, when the market is not giving you the ability to, unless you're a trend follower, really be able to swing trade it, there often is some decent moves in soybeans, and soybeans often also will move similarly to the S&P, even though they're not financially connected or fundamentally connected. And today's market in soybeans, we had shorted it earlier today at $10.38 on the upside with a stop at $10.42. The swing up 40, we've exited our ordinary exit, so we probably made about 5 or 6 cents, maybe a little more on the full trade. We got out at 32, I think, or 32 or 33. So we made 5 cents on one contract and maybe 2.5 or 3 cents on the other. So we have 8 cents in. We're waiting for an aggressive exit in this market. That's equivalent to 8 points in the S&P. Now, today's market, it would be difficult to pick up 8 points in a single trade, and so far, unless you're just holding in one direction. But as a swing trader, it would be difficult to do that. This is another example of why we watch this market, the soybean market. And I know I sound like a broken record. I think I am a broken record. I don't sound like one. I've actually graduated to being a broken record. But we get a lot of benefit out of the soybean market. And we've heard people, we've talked to people, it's, you know, it doesn't have the same sex appeal, it doesn't have the same interest by the news, and it's not as big as the other markets. But I'm telling you, it's a market that truly shows an enormous amount of potential trade gains for each day. And I think one of your other guests, I think Stack Trade is a fellow that you have had on. I don't know if he's on now, but he is... he began looking at soybeans as well. He took our advice, and I think his system worked well with soybeans. For a long time, he didn't use it, and I saw that he started to use it, and I thought to myself, well, there, that's nice. You know, somebody gets it, you know, that this is a market that has some real potential. I haven't checked recently to see if he's still doing that or not, but he has a valid system, and he was attempting to, you know, increase the range of the markets that he was looking at with it, and he did select soybeans, and I was happy to see that. So
I haven't spoken to him in a while.
Yeah, I had not noticed him or heard him in the background or whatever on, and maybe he's got other things going on, maybe he's busy, but do you not have a schedule that he comes on, or is it sort of just...
Well, he had some issues, some personal issues arise, since the beginning of the new year, we haven't spoken on air. I've spoken to him a couple times off air, and each time we spoke, it was like... I really want to get back on the show. Okay, let me know when it's going to work for you. And he's just been not only some personal issues, but he's been working on some trading things that he's going to bring to the public here in the near future. And I think he's kind of been burning his candle at both ends. So we'll see what comes out of it.
Well, anyway, so soybeans are a real good market to take a look at, like I was mentioning, for people who may not have taken a look at it before. Anyway, back to the S&P. So here we are. We're trying to break out to new highs here. For us, if we were able to get up to a little bit higher here, 1006 area, maybe slightly lower, if we could get into that area a little bit later today, that might prompt a new entry from our product, Messenger Pro. Understanding that we are, again, in a very compressed and ongoing uptrend, but that would probably, if the conditions were right, that would probably set another trade into motion. So we'll see if they can do that. At this point, should this hour close back below the 1,002 target that we mentioned yesterday, I think it would be an important early sign for further decline. So we'd like to see this hour, the one that ends just in about 27 minutes from now, close in above the 1,002 level so that we could potentially... see somewhat higher prices before taking another trade here. We're trading at 1,275 or a little bit higher right now. For people who don't know about the hourly close, we get a lot of questions about why is the hourly close important. It's important in the same way that a daily close is important or the same way that a weekly close is important. It's because everyone has agreed that the market's going to be open for a certain period of time every day, and in doing so, that very agreement is a cycle.
True.
Everyone that agrees on something, it automatically makes it a cycle. So it is important in its own right. And, you know, it's true on any level. You could say that any bar's close is important. But as you go down in time, as you get down to 15 and 5 and 1 minute bars, yes, it's important, but it's less important within the context of all the possible cycles that there are. You know, you're getting down to the minutia or very, very tiny cycles, mm-hmm. which quite often for people who do day trade, you have to remember if you're using 1 minute charts to produce your signal, not just to trade it, not to watch the market, but to actually produce the signal, you have to realize that that 1 minute chart may be screaming up, like buy,
mm-hmm.
while a 60 minute chart, which you're not paying attention to, is actually screaming down or sell.
Right.
Which one do you think is going to win that argument?
Well, the larger time frame is going to win the argument.
The larger time frame always rules. It may not rule for a short period of time, but it's going to rule, and generally all surprises are going to be in the direction of the larger time frame. So this is why I mention to people when we talk to people, we talk to an awful lot of people, a lot of traders, to really consider how much importance they want to put on the smaller time frames, especially with regard to generating the signal. Not in just watching the market. You can watch the market, but if you're going to generate signals from those tiny time frames, you effectively have to be very well aware of several time frames above that signal so that you can understand what the larger time frame is saying, because that smaller wave is going to ultimately follow what the larger time frame is saying. And this is why I've said so many times on your program that time is really what rules. Well, it's the one thing that can't be messed with. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The seduction of the smaller time frame, of course, comes in the, well, what would appear to be, you know, lower risk.
Yes. That's a great word, too. You're good with words today, Dwayne. I've got to tell you, you're very polished. The seduction of the smaller time frame. That's good. I mean, you're just laying out phrases. My mind listens. I don't know why. I've always been that way. There's something about phrases that catches me. And that's your second good one today. I'm making a little list here. The great phrases from Dwayne list. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, do you agree that it is the, whether it be an illusion? I mean, yeah, if somebody is going to build trading strategy off of an hourly chart, boy, you got to have a lot of room for error there on your entry, unless you somehow then take what you see on that larger time frame down to that smaller time frame.
Yes.
See, I'm agreeing with you in that you must be aware of the larger picture. But when it comes to actually picking an entry, I know of no other way than to go to a much smaller time frame.
Well, and that doesn't go against what I had mentioned earlier, which is that we're not talking about the entry itself. We're talking about the generation of the signal, the thing that's telling you to buy or to sell.
Okay.
That thing, if it's generated off of a one-minute chart, has a very high likelihood of causing you grief. Well, any trade does, but it has a very high likelihood of causing you grief, because it's the smallest time frame that most, other than going to a tick chart, of course, but it's the smallest time frame and the smallest cycle that can occur. It's going to be overridden by any number of larger cycles unless you're aware of them and know that what those cycles are saying. You can watch the lower time frame. You can even enter on the lower time frame, but if you generate it on that lower time frame, you are probably going to have problems. And what you said earlier, if I just want to just say something about the seduction of the smaller time frame, that almost sounds like the title of a book, is primarily greed, because people are looking at the market and instead of trying to make a reasonable gain out of having a reasonable understanding of what the market's doing, having made a gain, they may say to themselves, hey, wow, you know, I made that gain, well, how could I make that better? And what you're doing is you're slicing and dicing and trying to get it better and better and better. And in doing so, you're actually, in so many cases, making it worse and worse and worse. And so finally, you get down to the one-minute chart because there's so many more opportunities, quote-unquote, at the one-minute level.
Right.
But you're not understanding that there's so many other forces at work above that level. You're better off understanding what it is you don't understand about the market. In other words, be willing to trade at your own level. And when you go down in time frames, you're actually stepping up in levels of expertise. Not only, and I've said this before, but this is an interesting observation, and it's also something that you have to seriously consider, is that if you're generating a signal off of a small time frame, you actually are effectively taking a higher risk to make less money, because the signal on that 1 minute time frame is not going to be a signal that generates an 8 or a 10 point move. It's really looking at producing, you know, you're taking more risk to make less money. The more risk is that you are entering on a 1 minute level, and there's many, many other cycles that are existing above that that are counter to that, and your potential gain is much smaller. So you're taking a larger risk to make less money. That doesn't really make good sense to do that. It would make better sense to make us to take a smaller risk, understand a larger time frame, and make a little more money. And you do that because a signal that's generated on a, say, a 15-minute chart or a 30, whatever your basis might be, but the longer-term signals are going to point out to longer-term targets, larger targets, if you understand how the market works. Time and price are intimately related. They're one of, you know, there's two of three dimensions there. And again, just to be technical, price itself is not a dimension. Price is an attribute of a dimension. The dimension that it's an attribute of is space, because as we've said before, price has to move through space to go from $1 to $10. So, but my point in saying this is that those two are related. So the larger time cycles are going to produce larger gains, have targets that are further in distance than our smaller time frame cycles, like a 1 minute chart. So all I'm really going to do here is just cap this off by saying, carefully examine what it is you're looking at to generate your signals, and understand that the smaller you go in time frames, the more difficult it is going to be to know what the market's going to do with any certainty, because so many other larger forces are at work that may and very often are counter to that. So just keep that in mind.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
When you look at an hourly chart, do you include overnight data?
No. In our work, we don't include overnight data. It's something that we have not done in the past. We may do it in the future at some point, but we have not included that at all. That means that we don't look at it for any market purpose at all right now. We're using strictly the pit-traded session. Can I go on a minute for that,
mm-hmm.
why that is?
Mm-hmm.
Originally, the overnight market was pretty much kind of a shadow market. It really was very, very small volume. It still is very small volume. But it was more or less a shadow market and didn't truly and accurately represent all three dimensions. So you didn't have a true representation of what the market would do under a given set of conditions, because it is so, the volume was so light, number one, the actual price movement was also so nominal. But over the years, that has changed. We're seeing more activity in the Globex market, more volume, more normal movement. And so I'm not discounting, by saying any of this, the value of the overnight. It's our system as of this date today does not utilize the overnight in any way, whether for price levels or for forecasting right now. So we may do that in the future, because it's now more a true market than it has ever been. I think you would agree with me that it looks better than it ever has.
Oh, it's definitely growing.
Yeah. So that's something to consider as well, that, you know, and something for us to consider, because we realize that the market is improving.
The only time that I see overnight trading have any real effect on the following day session is the obvious, and that would be when the overnight session puts in a new high or a new low.
Okay.
From the previous day session. You have a day session where a high and a low is established, and then you have a night session where that day's higher low is,
mm-hmm.
that then has effect on the following day session,
okay.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's not that often. I haven't done a statistical study, but it's not really that often when that higher low gets broken. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it does, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I can't even throw out 10%, 20%, 30% because I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, I'll show you just as an example. This is not really a very good example, but let's just take today. The Globex today, Globex is the overnight market, for those that may not know. That market went down to 992 and then advanced. We, not using Globex, had called for 993. Now, we've seen this a number of times before, where Globex will go to a number Messenger Pro in its support and resistance levels will identify a number above or below that number, sometimes below it. And the market, the actual market, the live pit traded session that starts at 8:30 Chicago time, actually will go down through the Globex number and touch our number. And our number was generated without Globex. Sometimes it'll do what it did today, where Globex was under us and it actually stops right at our number and goes up. Not saying that our number is 100% correct all the time, but my idea that I'm trying to present is that Globex to this day isn't correctly identifying all the levels, because we can still often say, as an example, Globex went to 92, let's say today, and we would have a level down at, you know, 87. Well, the market goes right, bounces at 92, and then goes right down to 87 and has a larger reaction. That tells us that our particular approach is still better than what Globex is showing us, that Globex isn't fully a real market representing all three dimensions correctly. But it has gotten better. It has gotten better. Today, as an example, just today as an example, this isn't going to be this way every day, but today 93 and 92 are awfully close. And so Globex did correctly represent a number that we would have generated without it, which was 93, and today's low was 93.25. So when we see that, we know that the Globex session is getting better and better at showing the, and representing the three dimensions correctly. So over time, and maybe even to next year, we may, and I'd be very happy to tell you when our system starts to address Globex, address it, meaning use it and have it as part of its approach.
Okay.
If you'd be interested in knowing,
yeah,
I'll let you know when we do that.
Absolutely.
One thing I do want to mention, we talked about soybeans, and we talked about us being short at 38 earlier today. Our system just exited a short while back at 10:30, the price that we're just trading at right now. 10:30 is a price, not the time. And so we got out at with an 8-cent gain on that on the second half, and the first half we got about a 3-cent. So that's an 11-cent gain. That's an 11-point move in the S&P. What's wrong with trading in that market? There's nothing. There's no reason you shouldn't be looking at that market. I'm not even saying that with regard to selling a subscription to our product. I'm just suggesting that people take a look at that market. It's an easy market to trade. You may find it to be easier than the S&P is, which the S&P is 500 individual stocks moving based on their own news and other world events up and down, and it is a trickier market. It has its benefits because of that, by the way, but it is also trickier, and you have to be careful with it. So consider soybeans. You know, it's a market that really has some tradable potential on a day like today, where the S&P is difficult to do what we would call intraday swing trading, unless you're really getting down to the infinite levels there, you know, the 1-minute charts and all that. And you can see, look, we have about 13 minutes left here. We're still hovering right at the 102 level here. Today's high, I think, has been, is that 104? Has been 104 so far. So, you know, it's very quiet up here near the highs, and an hourly close below 1,002 would be somewhat important to us at this point. So we're on the sidelines waiting here. So, Duane, I think for right now, we'll let things sit as they are. I think that if you are going to day trade today, you just have to be careful and be willing to hold on to a position for a lot longer than you're willing to stay in a shoe store with your wife.
Say that again.
I think you have to be willing to hold on to a position longer than you're willing to stay in a shoe store with your wife.
That's pretty good.
That's, you know, in case men go to, some of your guests,
man,
certainly have gone shopping with their wife.
I have, I'm sure they have.
Hey, a little humor there.
Somebody sent me a message. I'm sorry I got distracted. I was trying to read that because it, have you ever heard of the term flash trading?
Flash trading?
F-L-A-S-H, yeah. This just came out across the news wires. Senator Schumer, the SEC plans to ban flash trading.
That sounds an awful lot like day trading.
Yeah, but that's what I thought, you know. Senator Charles Schumer said Tuesday the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission has personally promised him that she will seek to ban the practice of flash trading. Flash trading, which routes stock trades through private liquidity pools before being sent to other exchanges for filing, has come under fire from Schumer and other critics recently.
Yeah, that's not day trading.
It places some market participants at a disadvantage. Yeah, I figured out it wasn't day trading. It didn't have anything to do with futures. But can you explain?
Well, to the best of my understanding, what they're saying is that there are opportunities being given to a number of people who are off exchange prior to the execution of that order on exchange. So somehow it's being routed to, you know, in a sense, it's kind of like an insider opportunity.
A private liquidity pool is what they
call it. Yeah, a private liquidity pool, which is a potentially a group of people who may want to make a decision prior to it being put onto the exchange. I'm not sure of all the details because this is the first time I'm hearing of it, but it sounds to me like something like somebody's getting an edge on orders prior to them getting to the actual exchange where you and I and the public would see them. And this may be, it's a very interesting idea that somebody came up with that as a way to get around something, but they've now identified it, and they'll probably, obviously, they're going to be putting a stop to it, because part of the thing about free markets is they have to be fair. And there are certain practices that the government regulators are going to say that are not fair. And whether they're fair or not in reality doesn't really matter. It's, if the government believes they're not fair, then the government's going to stop people from doing that. And I think in general people want to know that everybody has a fair chance of knowing. You know, I mean, Martha Stewart went to jail based on this whole idea that what she did was not fair. She broke a law. And she got effectively insider trading information and ended up going to jail for it because it was really taking money from other investors who didn't have a fair opportunity, this is the way the government views it, to get out of a position or to know what she knew at the time. So in a sense, this private liquidity pool would be like people getting that advance notice before it gets onto the actual electronic exchanges. Something like that. I'm talking off the top of my head.
And if Martha was guilty, Martha did nothing that thousands of other people don't do every single day. But for some reason, they chose to send her to jail for it.
Well, you know, careers are made and broken on taking down what they consider to be big targets.
Right.
And people who are working for the government, just let me give you an example of what can happen to a person. If I have just one more minute here, tell me if I'm dipping on your time too hard. But if a person who's a either a prosecutor or somebody who is in some way involved in the legal side of watching the markets, you know, and regulating markets, et cetera, if that person or a group of people go after and successfully prosecute somebody like a Martha Stewart, who is a big target, and especially ends up having her either go to jail or have some fine or something, that is to what, to, you know, to the, I'm trying to think of an analogy, it's like a hunter, you know, shooting the big deer, you know, and being able to put the head on his mantle in his living room, which, by the way, I think is the most absurd thing on earth. But putting that aside, somebody gets a high-value target, and now that person with that in their resume can go out and get a very big advantage over someone else in signing up with a law firm and maybe becoming a partner to that law firm, but or even starting a law firm just based on that one takedown.
Right.
So that's why this is so important to them. Now, I'm not suggesting that the government went after her necessarily for that purpose. There had to be something that caught their attention originally. But the fact is that once something like that's a motivator. It's one of the hidden motivators behind this, is that they really want to get somebody like that because it puts a big picture out there. You know, whenever you turn on your news and you see somebody walking, you know, that's in handcuffs, that's called the perp walk. That's a filmed thing. The government wants that, and they give that opportunity to TV stations so that they can see a person being led away in handcuffs. Have you ever wondered, how is the camera always there when the guy's being led away in handcuffs? Well, that's something that the government has agreed with the media to allow them time to know where and when that is going to occur.
When they did the perp walk here recently up in Jersey, mm-hmm. with the mayors and all those guys that got arrested.
Yes.
They were doing the perp walk, and they were like covering their faces.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know. People will do that. They don't want to have their face seen on TV. But
hello, you're the mayor. I think we know what you look like, and chances are they're going to show your picture at some point. But, I mean, it's...
Yeah, chances are this is going to be in the paper, and everyone will know that that's you covering your face. But that's what people do.
What they're really saying with their body language is, I'm humiliated and ashamed.
Yeah.
Maybe not because I did something wrong, but definitely because I got caught.
Yeah, exactly. Or that people think I did something wrong. But either way, so, you know, it's kind of like that. The Martha Stewart thing is like the perp walk in a way. It's a big target. I don't know whether she did something wrong or not, to be honest with you. I think the rules that they have for that particular violation on a good day are gray. It's a gray area on a good day. I really do. So it's not cut and dry as it should be. There's a lot of room for wiggle in there. You know, she placed stops under a certain point so that she would get stopped out of the market, but she also happened to speak to somebody that had inside information. Well, did that cause her to change her stop so she utilized that information, or did the stop get hit as she originally placed it, or did she place the stop based on that information? You know, there's a lot of gray area there. And to be honest with you, at this point, to me, I would tend to believe everything that I've read, I would tend to believe that she was less guilty than more guilty, in spite of her fact of having some inside information, because there's an awful lot of that goes on anyway, as you know. So, but they catch who they can. They go out and catch who they can. And that was a big target. Somebody's career was boosted dramatically by that.
Right.
So you can rest assured on that. Anyway, so, well, Dwayne, listen, I would love to sit here and talk about the market as it stays within a $1 range for hours on end. You could come up with some other great phrases, like your recovery bubble, which I think is genius. I mean, I think that is just a perfect example of what they're later going to be calling this when it comes tumbling down. And I'll be the first one. I'll be your supporter right on the radio saying that I know.
I'm going to rush out to the blog and publish it. That way it's, you know, a matter of...
Publish it. Put it on a T-shirt. Get it on a T-shirt. You know, I'm a participant in the recovery bubble of 2009. You know, whatever it is you want to do with it.
There's a great political cartoon there. Somebody with a giant needle who's about to prick the recovery bubble.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, I haven't figured that out yet. Oh, but Barack Obama's face is on the balloon as it's being blown up. The bubble.
Yeah.
Get it? Okay.
He's getting an awful lot of sour attention right now. What he does not want to have. He does like his position. He does like his, you know, the rock star status. And he's getting beaten up a bit now and coming down to a, you know, it's probably bothering him, I'm sure. This healthcare thing that he wants to do, that he wanted to rush through and all that stuff. People don't like to be rushed. People don't like to be jammed through. And I think in the end, however this healthcare thing ends up, the irony of all of this is going to be that, in my mind anyway, maybe not in others, but in my mind, practically none of this money would have had to have been spent. That, in a sense, this may or may not make sense to everybody, but we are effectively damaging ourselves to the same extent or more than the crash would have damaged us without any of this money being spent. In other words, we may actually hurt ourselves more by spending all this money than we would have if we did nothing and let the market forces that be what they may.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, we could have ended up, we may have actually, I'm not saying that we did, we're spending all these trillions, maybe that's what it would have cost us. But there is a possibility that we're actually spending actually more money and doing more damage to ourselves than if the government would have just not tried to knee-jerk and not tried to show how smart they were by spending all this money, and we would have been at the bottom anyway, and then we would have had all that money, you know, having not spent it, to begin rebuilding at that point. There's a really, really fine line between, you know, how much money you spend to fix a problem and whether the problem would have been any worse if you did nothing at all. And in this particular case, market forces are going to take the economy where it needs to go. And I don't know that there's any amount of money or governments that can buy their way out. I don't think there has ever been a government that could buy its way out of a true economic downturn. They try, but I think the truth of the matter is that the market goes where it needs to go. The economy goes to where it needs to go. It clears itself out. We've got fire departments everywhere, and we still have fires, and big fires. And it's like that. They happen. They're going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we should sit blindly aside and do nothing. But when it comes to markets and comes to economies, I think the general idea is that the market is going to correct to where it needs to get to. And if you're going to spend $3 trillion trying to fix that, you may just end up damaging yourself more than you would have if you would have just let the thing get the correction out of the way, and then you could start rebuilding from the bottom. He's trying to buy his way out of this correction, which I think is a mistake, and I think will be viewed as a mistake in a historical perspective, you know, down the line.
It has become apparent that he has lost his sacred cow status.
That's right.
Because the late-night TV comedians, the Jay Lenos of the world, are starting to poke fun at him.
Yeah, they can't resist it at this point. It's just too good comedic material, you know. That's what it is. And so it's probably not a bad idea for him if he can get down to business. Maybe he'll think a little clearer if he's off his pedestal as well.
Yeah.
I mean that seriously. He may be a better president because of this, for his next 3 years, because he's off the pedestal and he's not trying to impress himself and stay up there. It's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing. I really think it probably will help him to step down.
Oh, you know, they were back on TV this morning saying that those guys on Sunday morning were way off base, that President Obama stands by his promise that there will be no tax increase for the middle class.
I saw that.
And I forgot to research that 40% figure. I'll do that today.
Yeah, let's take a look at that. I'd be curious to know. And again, if you have a chance, Wayne, I know you're busy, let's chat after hours at some point when you have a few minutes.
I will give you a call.
Okay, my pleasure being on the show as well. The recovery bubble, that will stick with me for years. So that was
thanks,
a good
David.
One. All right, buddy. I'll talk with you tomorrow, Dwayne.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. I got to go. Here we are, still at 1,002. On the upside, I'd watch 1,005. In fact, will you probably get a trade from here up to 1,005? Yeah, I would think so. If we can break through 1,005, hold it on a pullback, then maybe you eke out a trade up to 1,010. Other than that, boy, we have an average true range now on a 5-minute chart of a point. In other words, the market's traveling all of a point every 5 minutes. That's not much, so might be a good day to just go fishing. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.